Blog Talk Radio.
Presence of the Lord is here. Presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Presence of the Lord is here. Oh, presence of the Lord is here. Spirit of the Lord is here. Anybody feel it tonight? Spirit of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. Spirit of the Lord is here. Oh, Spirit of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. Oh, the power.
Messenger Ron Dyer.
Bless you, my brother. Bless you. It is such an honor to be here with each and every one of you tonight. And tonight we're going to just talk about the goodness of God and what is needed to open blinded eyes and deaf ears to hear what it is that God is saying.
Before we go any further, Brother Messenger, I think it's important that we acknowledge Nurse Carmen.
Hello, my brother.
Hey, Nurse Carmen. Okay, now we got that out the way. Go ahead, Brother Messenger.
We don't want no drawbacks, man, right?
I want no problems, man. I want nothing but peace and harmony take place when the messenger is on the radio.
Amen. And we're going to set that vibe to make sure that not only when we're on the podcast, but throughout our daily lives. And it's just really amazing. The more that you try to let the God in you shine, the more it is that people want to try you and try to steal your joy. They say misery loves company, but this is just some company that they're not going to have. I refuse to allow anyone to try to steal this joy, knowing who I am and whose I am. It's just more of an effort or more of a desire to push firmly in the belief and knowing that all things are working together for the good. So I'm working on a situation that requires me to see the good in the confusion and stuff that is around us. And I'm beginning to see it already, but in the human state, it's a vexing situation trying to figure out why. And then it comes to me what Jesus once said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." God
Amen.
Is at work. Yes. God is working
yes,
in our
is.
Lives. Yeah. We just have to be able to see it and glorify Him and not give credence to the silly things that are around it. I won't call them evil because they don't know what they're doing. And anything
hey,
that you want to take for... Yes, sir.
I'd just like to acknowledge, I think we have Sister Perron with us tonight. Is that Sister Pearl? And we have another
no,
caller.
I don't know if Sister Pearl's here. I have Sister Sunshine.
No, I was coming to you
no,
next, Sister Sunshine.
No, I am. I'm sorry.
Oh,
okay.
She is
all
here.
Right.
Hello.
Hi, Sister. Dear, I'm having, I don't know how to push buttons on my phone, apparently.
Okay.
So what's really important is that the fact
the gang's all here.
Okay.
And that's what's important, that we all sought not robbery, to spend a little time communing with one another, just thinking about where our knowledge has brought us from and where it's leading us, where we find it not robbery to take time out of our days, our busy days, to stop and think about and get more in tune with the God that's in us, because I'm telling you, it is a journey, and it is a, sometimes it can seem like warfare. I don't know if you guys know it, but it seemed, I had a trying day today, but I will not allow, and the funny thing about it is, so-called church folks to steal this joy that I have. And now,
you must
now,
have that mixed. You
not,
must have that mixed up, brother Messenger. You mean the church folks gave you joy? That's what you really meant, ain't it, brother? I'm just saying. He said, "No, that's not what I meant." We have to give them a little space because again, they still, most of them are still hung up in that idea of we need to meet five times a week in order to get a word into God. And if you really knew that God is already in you, but you still practice that old practice of I got to go to the morning bench, I got to cry, I got to have snot running out my nose. I mean, I have to be that convulsed in order to get a word into God. If you're still holding on to that, then we have to be patient with folks.
Well, and yeah, I'll tell you this, though, from my experience lately, it's not even so much the church folks as it is the church leaders.
All right, now.
The
church leaders.
Everybody's like,
church leaders. I'm not sure when the last time any of the listeners actually attended service or anything, but they tend to have this. Okay, they speak out of both sides.
Are
of
you
their
asking?
We can share because there's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? I just want everyone to know that it's not necessary, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Correct. I agree.
So when was your last time, since I'm asking?
Well, today, of course.
Today? Oh, okay. All right. Sister Sunshine,
don't ask me next week.
Well, you know, it's been a minute. The building and I have a little issue. So.
The building? Okay. All right.
The building
and
some
and
of its people in it have an issue.
Well, I got an issue with the whole concept, building people, everything. But again,
amen. Amen.
Yeah. You got to turn your
head. Well, bedside Baptist fan, is that what you're saying?
Huh?
Are you a bedside Baptist fan?
No. I try to be a little realer than that. I'm trying not to turn the messenger's podcast into the attic right now. But no,
my fault.
No, we're good. It's just that I no longer think that's necessary. And again,
agreed.
And I tell people fact that I don't think it's necessary. I hope that when I make that statement that you see a different change in how my daily steps are. So when I say I don't think it's necessary, I don't mean that you can live a reckless life and not expect any consequences. I think that if I'm in touch with the reason they go to church, I'm already there. Why go?
Right.
Now, again, and that's not the same as why fellowship. Fellowship is good, but why go?
Yeah, that part is good. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Fellowship is still good. And I think when people understand that it's a fellowship and not a prerequisite to get you into the place that you call heaven, I think then even then they can understand church better. And if the church leaders would understand that it's a fellowship and not a business, well, I don't have to take five offers from you, and I don't have to have a church with more money in a savings account. Watch this. I got people. Wait, here I go again. Watch this. You have people in the church donating money that they just don't have. And again, there's a difference
the building association.
Yeah, see. Wait, don't it sound like she was raised Primitive Baptist? You know, every black church I've ever known, building fund.
Everybody
got one. It's like, well, Brad, we have church in the back of my house, and we still got to have a building fund.
If God is everywhere, and we know He is, why do I have to go there?
Or she?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have to be there to pay respects or to fellowship.
Right.
Or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. And again, they teach He's omnipresent. So if He's everywhere, why does it matter where I go to talk to Him? Well, why does hold on. I'm going to clear this up right now. On the podcast, The Messenger, when you hear the word he is masculine and feminine for the purpose of this podcast. Are we good, Cass?
Okay.
All right,
yes,
cool.
Rock to you, bye.
And actually, it would be a great idea if we could train ourselves to sometimes say she. Because God is just as much woman. God is whatever God chooses to be. Because technically, God is spirit.
Right.
Not a female spirit, not a male spirit. There is no such thing. God is spirit.
Right.
And God can be a female today, and God can be a male tomorrow. God could be a horse tomorrow if He wanted to.
Right.
But because of this theological pretense that they want to lay upon us, they think, and this is why I always say that a lot of people like to think God is some Wizard of Oz up in the sky granting people wishes, because this is what they projected to us. And just going to, if God is omnipresent, why do I have to leave where God is to go to where He is?
Right.
And all the while, I'm taking God with me. God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So that means...
What is that?
God said what?
Background noise.
No, that was the multitude saying, ooh.
No, it wasn't.
You hit the wrong sound.
Right.
No.
It sounded like
Stop
a...
it. No, that was
a ooh. Stop it.
Okay. We hear the ooh now.
After he got finished saying that, he said, I'll
never
That
sounded like it was a wave.
Yes.
It sounded like a blender.
Hey, once again, I just got finished saying God can be anything he chooses to be.
Yes, he can be. Yes, he can be.
Okay. So
he could be a mixer.
If we don't limit, that's right. If we don't limit what it is that we think God to be, then we can get to truly witness him. But if I know for a fact that there's no way that God could be a woman,
amen.
If I limit myself to that, then when God is using a woman to speak to me, I can't even recognize it.
Right, you can't see it.
Because in my mind, right, in my mind, there is no way that's God. And this is what I meant when I say so many times God is talking to us, but we miss it because of who we perceive God to be.
Amen.
And God is everything. And God, I've said this numerous times, God could speak to us through the newspaper. God has all of these different avenues that he can talk to us.
Right, absolutely.
But because we've been to know, he's got to be taught, he got to come to us through some guy who had a dream, and now all of a sudden he's in charge of the multitude of people. Who gave anybody, if God gave me free will, why do I need someone to direct me how to live my life?
You don't.
We seem to think that God didn't have enough wisdom when he designed this whole life package, that he didn't have enough wisdom to guide me, that he had to send some man, even though if you search the scriptures tell you, put not your trust in man. Why? Because he will deceive you. But then every man gets up and say, God called me to lead you. Man loves to tell you in the church there is no big eyes and little you, but who is it that everybody worships? Who is it that everybody quote unquote bows down to? And I've never seen them stop. That's right. And I've never seen them stop them. They head get big and then they think that, hey, no, I'm the same. The pastor is the same as the usher. You tell the pastor you need him to sweep the floor. And he'd look at you like you bumped your head.
Not my pastor.
Well, I'm not speaking every single one. I'm not speaking every single one.
Like I tell people, when we say all does it, just like we understand he is
right,
masculine and feminine.
I got it.
All usually means around 98. Okay, there's
right.
always a couple of percentage.
Yeah,
of
there's
that
a couple that
want
right. You're absolutely right.
But, you know, but most pastors, we was talking about that, especially the pastors for these mega churches. Yes, I'm about to go at you for a minute, pastors.
Yeah.
You have these mansions, not homes. And I'm pretty certain if one of your members could get to your front door, because most of them have security, because
that's
God
right.
What's this? Because the Christ
right.
they follow, you read all the stories about how he had all the security. And he was always fenced in from everybody. So they follow in that example, and they have security around their house that you can't really get to their house. But if you could, and you went there and told them, Pastor, I'd like to stay here tonight. Now, let me tell you what probably going to happen. First, understand, you're not staying there. All right? Understand that. I'm going to give you money for a hotel. I'm going to put you up somewhere, but you can't stay here. And I think that because I gave you money for a hotel, I'm still doing God's will. But again, if my tithes and offering bought this house, it's kind of like it's our house. I know it's really not. But members who go to those pastors, they're usually, they're accommodated. But you're not staying at the pastor's house.
And
why
I'll
is
I'll break that down. I'll break that down even further for you. You are 100% correct about the mega churches, but I'll break it down to a church of 50. I'll break it down to a church of 30. That pastor, well, he hasn't got the mega church pastor mentality, but it's close. He's considered a mega pastor in his little congregation. It's only those churches with the two or three where all of a sudden you've got a tight-knit bunch. But as soon as the numbers start to grow and a little bit more money is in the pot, their head begins to swell. And a lot of that is our fault because we have the tendency of lifting them up to that degree.
When you're in a church that, when you're in a church, and if somebody know what I'm talking about, you just wave your hand. You get to see the elder. Watch this. Wait a minute. You get to see the elder based on your tithing percentage. Now, again, because we have churches where people give thousands every week. If you're in that group, you get to see the pastor. But if you're in that hundreds or a couple of dollars here and there and you need to see the pastor, you get to see what they call the lay minister. You have am I joking? Anybody been to a big church?
No, you're not. That's true. I can testify.
I mean, and again, if you're here for the people, and you know that whole concept of being anything in life today that we're supposed to be doing for the people, whether it be ministering, governing, that whole concept is just so watered down that probably we're going to come up with a new phrase for something that means something that's going to replace the whole concept of for the people. We elect you as a politician. We vote you in as pastors for the people. And whether elected or voted in or selected, when you get in, you very quickly forget why you're doing this. Why am I a pastor of a church of 10,000? I would think that, if you're a pastor of a church of 10,000, that means you're pretty much too far gone to come back to the center, because you're never going to give up all those free riches. Rich is in order to educate people about God, because true education about God will require that pastor or that minister to tell people, you don't have to send me that money every week. You don't have to come here every day. And what businessman, again, because I'm not talking church, what businessman drives away customers? Because that's what you are in the church, you're a customer.
None.
None of them. No. So if a minister was to actually put the word out, again, about God and the goodness of God, and God is already in you, go out and create the best life you can. Understand that giving, taking care of people, from my perspective, is part of that best life that you should be building. Again, my perspective. But if I understand that I'm not required to pay homage to a church, send 10% of whatever I have to a church, then it makes it hard for that pastor to run his business, because his business ain't really about getting you to God. That's not his business, unless they've already, or they're smart enough to know that really, no matter what kind of scam I run on the tens of thousands of people, I can sleep well, because when it's all said and done, they're going to heaven anyway. Well, excuse me, they're going back to the Creator anyway. I won't say heaven. They're going back to the Creator. So no matter what kind of scam I run for the next 20, 30 years, when that person takes that final breath, God comes in and takes his spirit back. So have I really led you wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what this
but
is.
Have they been
the
led,
why...
or are they just? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Have they been misled, or just, you know, willing to follow something that they think, or to their understanding that they believe in?
Well, again, belief comes from training and knowledge. I mean, in order for you to believe in something, you have to be constantly exposed to it to get the belief in. We don't just pick up beliefs. Beliefs are something that, through repetition, environment, that's how we establish beliefs. So when I say misled, and maybe that might have been a strong word, but misled being, you come to me every Sunday, every Wednesday, and all I'm telling you is, if you don't do this, you're going to burn in hell. If you don't do this, God won't understand you. If you don't go and purify yourself before you pray, God won't hear your prayer. Yeah, that's all what I call misleading. And because, again, when you get indoctrinated to that teaching at such an early age or at a late age, because it is very comforting. I'm not going to lie about that. When you sit down and you're praying or you're communing, I mean, that's a very comforting feeling. So I don't want anybody to lose that. But I want you to understand that you don't have to get in a church building to do that. You can talk to God just as good from right here on this microphone than I can if I was to drive over to a church building. And while we're on churches, if we are Christians, and meaning we follow Christ, Christ never had no church. I mean, so and again, the only time you ever, not ever, because I'm not a theologian. I didn't pay a couple hundred thousand dollars to go get a degree so I can get more offering. But thank you. Y'all kind of late with that. Well, no, but only time I can remember in a Bible when they talk about church is when the Creator, when Jesus went into the synagogues to square the Sanhedrin council away, teaching and selling in the building that was supposed to be a holy building.
Right.
But if Jesus recognizes that building as being so holy, why don't you ever hear of Jesus having a church?
Right.
Well, and Jesus said to Peter, upon the rock of your heart, which the Spirit has revealed to you who I am, I will build my church upon your heart. So,
but again, all they heard was build and church.
They say it. Right, but once again, but they'll tell you that they are the church. The body is the temple, that temple for Christ, for God. That's what the body is.
Right.
Because it is the Spirit of God that resides in us. So this is why it's the temple. They'll tell you that in one breath, and then in the next breath, they'll say that God is in the church, and they'll pray, God, come into the church. You got a church full of people, and you're asking God to come into some place that he's already in? You're asking God is omnipresent. Why must you pray for the Spirit to come into somewhere when the Spirit is everywhere?
He's already there.
What we need to do, right, what we need to do is start recognizing the Spirit and stop with these formalities of playing church, because there is no reason for that. You are the church. Let your light so shine so that men and women may see your good works and glorify God, because all good comes from God. So every time you do good, it's just the God in you that's showing up. And you don't have to go to no building, because if you go to the building, one of the things Jesus said to them, because they got mad at him one time, because he went to the Sanhedrin guards or something to that nature, and he was having dinner with them. And they were getting mad with him because he was having dinner with them. And they're saying, why are you having dinner with them? Don't you know what they do? And Jesus said, well, you don't send a doctor to a well patient, don't you?
Right.
So if every Sunday or every third Wednesday, whenever, if you're getting up, going to this place to quote unquote worship God, and trust me when I tell you, God does not need your worship. If you worship him or not, that's not going to change who he is. And God is not some some low esteem person where he needs praise all the time to recognize who he is. So for people to tell you got to worship, only thing God requires is that you give thanks. You
now,
give
wait a minute,
thanks
Brother
for
Messenger.
Who and what it is that you are.
Now, wait a minute, Brother Messenger. They told me I was created to praise God. I've been taught that I've been created to praise God. Now, you telling me, you mean God don't need me praising him all day? You mean that's not why God created all these people, just to praise him?
Well, see, this is the part that really vexes me as well. Because if God created you to praise him, how can you do anything else? How can you do anything else if that's what you were created to do? This is why the whole story about the war in heaven with the angels and all of that stuff. Now, for eons, before they were able to count time, because we know time is what, Sister Sunshine?
Time is not real. There's only the present.
Okay. So now, through all of this present, the angels, according to the stories, all they did was worship God. How can somebody come and say, you know what, let's don't do that no more, and all of a sudden they stop? And out of nowhere, the devil just decided, you know what, we ain't praising him no more. We going to take over his kingdom. How can that be? And
so
how
the devil
can
went
we
back.
Be so blinded? Huh?
Oh, so the devil was like Jerry Maguire. He said, I'm out of here. Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?
I think you were going to say the devil went back to Georgia.
What's that?
I didn't hear what you say, Sister Purr.
Never mind.
Did you say the devil went down to Georgia?
Maybe.
Okay. So we're going to need,
all right, well,
we need
ask,
like two guitars
me,
to do that then.
Well, let me ask somebody this then, okay? Once again, if God was so pissed off at the devil, right, and he created this fiery pit called hell, and he cast Satan into hell, why is Satan everywhere but hell?
Yeah, how did he get out?
When did he get there? Because from the stories, all he'd been doing is running the earth forever, taking God's people from him. That's the way the story goes. So how can that be? If God cast him into hell, how can he be everywhere but hell? And we believe these things on a daily basis.
Mm.
It's just amazing how in one breath we can say how powerful and how awesome God is, but then he can't control anything that he's created because he created us and he can't even control us because we ain't doing anything he want us to do. God made a commandment, thou shalt not kill. But now all of a sudden, because they killed Jesus, his blood got so much power. But wait, his blood got power when you killed him? I'm God and I allow you to kill me just so that I could bleed? Don't you think God had another way of showing us how magnificent he is rather than to die on a cross?
Yep.
But we believe this. We get all dressed up Easter Sunday because he rose. He rose.
We believe.
He rose. We believed, okay. But he rose, and he's coming back again, but he's inside us, but he's coming back again, and we're all waiting for the day that he returns. But Jesus is in me, but I'm still waiting for the day that he returns. How crazy is that of us?
Real crazy.
And truth of the matter is, we listen to the same sermons every holiday, every Sunday. We listen to him say the exact same thing over and over again. The preacher can preach a sermon, and the next year you can pretty much repeat that same sermon because you know what it is after 3 years in a row hearing the same thing. And you mean to tell me after all of this present time, God ain't gave us nothing new? We still believe that a book that was written almost 3,000 years ago is the last word from God? Because they wrote in that book, don't nobody add or take away. So now all of a sudden God has stopped documenting anything for us. This is the God that, quote unquote, people want to serve, that people trust in. He ain't dead. He's not dead, but he ain't writing no more. He's not inspiring people anymore. John, on the island of Patmos, when he had all these revelations in the book of Revelation, story goes, now I wasn't there, so I can't really tell, but story goes, he was high on mushrooms.
Mm.
And this is why he was able to see all of these crazy visions, because he was on mushrooms. And now all of a sudden, that is gospel? But we constantly let fear, it's two things that do it. It's fear and laziness. And the laziness part is because we're afraid to find out the real truth because we think it's going to require more of us than what we want to give. So we'll just go with that story that they gave. Because we could deal with that because we got all kind of escape clauses and stuff, so we could deal with that. Instead of just taking the time to commune with God, I just find it just so ridiculous how in one breath we can say that Jesus is in us, that God's spirit dwells within us, but then we can sit back and wait for the day for him to return. What? Unless we see a man, we don't believe that he's returned, even though we know he is spirit. What are we waiting to return? We're waiting for the second coming of Christ. Wait a minute, he came the first time and didn't get it right, so now he's going to go spend another eternity with the Father and then come back again and try it again? What kind of power or authority is it that God really has? If we listen to the scriptures and what it is that religion tries to tell us about God. If this was so upsetting and wrong to God, wouldn't God just shake this off? And, well, he can't shake it off because he can't get it right, because according to scriptures and stuff, he's tried all kind of different ways to get us to act right, but we won't act right. And we're talking about God. We're talking about God. And all of a sudden he got Jesus to act right because Jesus was him. And since Jesus was him, how can he come down here and they kill him? How can that be? And how can we just continue to believe and follow this? Because that just makes, I mean, if your child was to come and tell you, let me ask you, does anybody know the story of Scientology and all of that stuff, on how they got started with their Messiah being in a spaceship and all that stuff? Anybody know anything about Scientology?
No.
And honestly, I don't know.
Other than Tom Cruise, I don't know.
And that's why you know Tom Cruise is Scientology. But
Time Cruise, yeah.
Supposedly, they are. Their leader is a space from some planet, and he came in a spaceship. And so that's who they follow. And it's really a crazy story, but then when you stop and listen to it, every single religion has some kind of crazy story that they want you to believe regarding God. Every single one. So Scientology sounds crazy to us. The Mormons with L. Ron Hubbard, that sounds crazy to us. But what difference is that than the story that they're peddling with Jesus?
I had someone tell me that is a Jehovah's Witness believes like only 153,000 or something, 150,000 are the ones going to God, to heaven, and they know. Is it Jehovah's Witness or Seventh-day Adventist? I think it's Jehovah's Witness.
Because it's written. Yeah, because what they do is they go in and they find little things, and they're missing the bigger. Now, inside each of the scriptures, there is words and there is things in there that men have written from inspiration from God, but that does not make it gospel. It's inspiration. It is something that happened to them when they subconsciously called upon the power that was within them. And they wrote it down. But not everything, because everything in there is inspired by God. They might have been inspired by God today, but when they wrote the second verse, that doesn't mean that they were inspired by God, but we took it to be gospel. Because if you, there is a scripture in the Old Testament that says to the parents, if you have children that are unruly and won't listen to you, what you're supposed to do is take them to the outskirts of town and stone them to death. Does that sound like something coming from God?
Nope.
No.
There are scriptures that tell a slave to be obedient to its slave master. Does that sound like something from God?
Mm-mm. No.
But
for about 400 years, they thought it was.
Right, because that was a way to keep people down. That was a way to keep people in bondage. And this is why they pushed it. Because I got to give them something to keep them at bay, because if they rise up against me, I can't take all of them. I got to have some kind of outside force that'll help me keep them in control. They asked, Jesus told everyone, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And one of the things that people don't want to accept, and they'll send me to this great heated place called hell that I guess I can get there, even though it was made for Satan, I guess I could get there. He can't get there, but I could get there, is just the fact that Jesus was no more or no different than you and I. Jesus, now I don't know whether Mary had a relationship with Joseph or Bill or who, but I do know that great Immaculate Conception isn't so. If you were born of a great Immaculate Conception, wouldn't you tell somebody? Or is that a secret? Wouldn't you tell somebody? And nowhere,
I'll tell everybody.
Nowhere in the 66 books is it written where Jesus ever spoke about it. All Jesus wanted people to understand was that him and the Father are one. And what I'm here to tell anyone that will hear me is that you and the Father are one. Why do you think Jesus and God always reference two things? First of all, love God with all your heart and soul. Okay, and if you love him with all your heart, because your soul automatically does, because your soul is God. Okay, so if you love him with all your heart and soul, and then you love one another as yourself, do you see the unity there? Because it is one. And I think I use as an example just so that people can better understand this as well. If you go to the ocean and you take a cup of water out of the ocean, and you take that water over to the Bronx, that's still ocean water. And what I mean by that is, because we are part of the bigger being of God, we are all a part of it. And it's just that simple. And if we really get down to it and listen to the things that Jesus said, the miracles and stuff that Jesus did, Jesus always told us that we can do the same. But the only reason we don't do them is because we don't believe. Amen. We don't believe so much. Jesus told us that we are all one, that you are his brother and sister. These are the messages from Jesus. But because Peter, Paul, and all the rest of them came after him and started saying how you must do this and you must do that, all the stuff Jesus told us, we pay no attention to that, because Paul, on the road to Damascus, his name was Saul, but on the road to Damascus, his name got changed to Paul. He fell and bumped his head and woke up and forgot his name was Saul. Oh, wait, it's Paul. That's what it is. It's Paul. And we go with that.
Yes, we do.
Now, I don't have a problem with the brother changing his name and all that, but why are we putting such credence in that instead of loving one another and realizing the power that we have?
Because that's that lesson, that fake lesson that I'm still trying to convince you that God can change you. That's what that whole lesson is about, rather than trying to convince you that God likes you just the way you are.
Just the way you are. And if God made you, why does he need to go in and change you now? Once again, we're taking away God's power and saying he made a mistake. How can we constantly just take away all of this great power that we give God and turn around and take it away from him? Because we have this desire that everything has got to be right. And if it's not right with us, then it is wrong.
And we really have no idea what right is.
That's correct. And if we don't have any idea what right is, then we have no clue whatsoever what wrong is.
Or if there is a right or wrong.
Well, in God's eye, there isn't. This is why God has given us free will, because there is no right or wrong. Why? Because he made it all. And because he made it all, you have the option to choose whatever you want. Now, for those skeptics or those that want to act silly and stuff, no, that don't mean you can. And then we say it all. No, that don't mean you just go kill people. Well, actually, you could.
You can.
Consequences.
Yeah, you can. Mm-hmm. That's right. Exactly. Just be prepared for somebody to come kill you. Because what goes around will come around.
I have a question. People seem to forget that there was faith and there was belief prior to the Bible ever even coming to existence or being exposed to it by certain individuals. I don't understand when it became the end all be all that you had to function that way.
It's going to be all when they had to find a way to control us. Nothing personal, but when we was walking around with no drawers on and everything hanging and all that stuff, just free, we didn't need that.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't need that. But then when they started bringing us here and started setting up colonies and they needed to control the people, that's when religion became so popular.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they brought it there, too. They exposed it to us in one hand and took everything else in the other.
Well, yeah, they brought it to them.
Conversation for another day.
They brought it to them. Right. They brought it to them as a trickery to get them to relax a little bit so that they can once again have control.
And I always say, if you think about, and again, I'm not trying to, we're talking about the creator, but if you think about the African, the slave who was brought here under false pretenses, but if you think about that whole environment, we're talking about people who own people. I care not about your everyday existence, but wait one minute. I want to show you how to get to eternity. Now, come on. If you care not about me right now, what would make me really think that you care about me in the afterlife? And again, that's what was sold to us. Now, because we've been in North America so long, I really don't know what religion we actually practice in Africa. Or if there was a religion in Africa that you had to be regulated by. But when we came to America, again, when they started to see the size of that African, the strength of that African, even though we were outnumbered and outweaponed, again, that was fear. And we had to get that Bible in there. If I can get you to believe in God, and one thing I'll say, regardless of the religion, which I don't care for any of them, but regardless of the religion, there's always a person at the top whether, and again, that person translates into God, whether it be Allah, God, or Buddha, whoever it is, there's a person at the top. And I say that person is God. And if we all believe in God, then when the African came to America, it was kind of easy to let them understand it's your God, because your God sent this book. I didn't write this. Your God wrote this. Your God said you are cursed. Your God said in Philippians, do all things without complaining. These are not my words, slaves. So if I believe in a deity, and now you show me writings, and I'm not that well-versed, then I believe in your concept, and I believe that I should be submissive, and I should be tolerant of the nonsense that you put me through, because I sold you on religion. I sold you on a specified or required way to act. I sold you on I'm going to abuse you, but don't you worry, because God's going to take care of you. And I got to say, Africa's
in the afterlife.
Definitely in the afterlife. Right now, God needs you to go ahead out there and get that field plowed.
Right.
But in the afterlife,
I need you to
plow
it.
Now you get this piece of gold.
Then you're going to put on your white robe and walk down the street paved with gold.
But
right now, I'm going to need you to pick that cotton.
I'm going to need you to stop telling me you're hungry, because I got another verse for you. Man can't live by bread alone. Your God said that. Now go ahead back to work. And again, you know what I'm saying? We pick and choose.
Yeah.
And while I said pick and choose, I want to touch something else also. When I speak about this ministry to people, that's one question that I'm always asked. If you don't believe in the Bible, why do you always quote from the Bible or use the Bible as a reference? And I'm going to turn that question over to the messenger.
Well, because as I stated earlier, there are inspirational words in the Bible. And I use the Bible to let you know that there are inspirational words in there. Then there's just some stuff up in there. One of the things Mother used to always say to us, what we have to learn how to do is eat the meat and spit out the bone. But unfortunately, what we do is we eat everything in there and think it's good. And one of the things we have to, those inspirational words in there, they're just inspiration. There's someone's feelings on what it is that God did for them that day. Once again, that doesn't make it gospel. It's something that you can use as a reference. But once again, remember we spoke about being outside your mind? Because we've got to stop thinking so much, because when we're thinking, we're not creating, we're reacting. We're reacting to past events. If you say right now, let's go to the club, in everybody's mind, a picture of what happened at one point or another when they went to the club. And now from that, the thought process begins to work to determine if you're going to the club. And I just use club, but that goes with everything. We're always basing stuff on past experiences. So we're not creating. We're just reacting to life. And that's why I said we do it consciously and subconsciously. When we do things subconsciously, sometimes we say, I don't know why I did that. But it worked out pretty good, though. But then when we sit back and debate stuff, what we say, I should have did what my first mind said. Because we're reacting instead of following what it is that the Spirit has led us to do. And no, we all said that I should have did what first came to mind. But no, we had to process it first, and we had to run it through some other experiences and stuff. And this is what is called spending time. Because we're not creating like we should be doing. We're just going over and over instead of, as Sister Sunshine said, being in the present, bringing presence to us. pre-sent. Each time was pre-sent to us. And so what we need to do is take that time and create. Because we sent it to ourselves for a reason. But because we're thinking so much, we're not using it as we sent it to ourselves for.
Amen.
Wow. I just left that alone just so that we could think about it for a moment.
So let
that
it marinate.
Word present, let it marinate, because that word present means a lot. Present. The present is a present from God.
Mm-hmm.
Each day is a present moment from God. Present moment. But we're too busy being afraid of everything that we don't acknowledge it. And back in the older and different type of religion, this is why you had so many gods. Because anything that moved and did stuff, they labeled it God. That's why you got the sun god. That's why you got all these different gods. The sun shining and brought crop to the land, they called the sun the god. Because you gave us food. We make this stuff up as we go. And if you think about it, even religion to this day, it has changed. Oh. At one point in time, it used to be so strict that you couldn't do anything. Then they relaxed it so much just so that they could get the money. So it has changed. But they're holding on to that core silly belief that'll keep you bound by them. When you should be bound by no one. This is what free will is all about. And it just drives me crazy. Free will, but he wants you to, if you don't choose this, then you're going to hell. Then that's not free will. You've given me a choice to either do what you say or go to hell. Where's the freedom in that?
So a real free will would be do what I say or not do what I say. But at the end, it's already determined what it's going to be.
That's what it's going to be. You can do whatever. It's not even do what I say. It's not do what I say. God has not had no predestined moment for you to do something. There is no predestined moment because you are here to create your life how you see fit. And however you see fit, that's what it is. And then when this body has done all that it can do here on earth, then you are reborn, per se, into who you really are. Then you come to the knowledge. All of this stuff comes back to you again. And then you choose whether you're going to try it again or you're just going to stay where you are. This is the authority, this is the power that we have because of who we are. And we have to recognize this and start living in the present and not in the past or in the other thing. We have to live in the present, the present moment.
Amen.
Hey, podcast audience, it is that time. It is, again, we had a nice hour of power. Thank you, Reverend Ica Corder. I'm taking it. I think you wanted me to have that. But let's say our good nights. Nurse Carmen.
Good night, everybody. Love you guys. God bless.
Sister Sunshine.
Good night, everyone, and amen.
Sister Purr.
Good night, everybody. Have a blessed day tomorrow.
You too.
Thank you.
Hey, the messenger has ministered to us again. Let's remember of the words, because as he teaches, all we have to do is remember. But let's go again. Tomorrow and every day that we are blessed to see, let's be disciples of the messenger's word. And again, let's try to share that with people, and sharing with them so they always understand This is a godly message. This isn't about anything else other than getting you closer to where I believe you want to be. So this is Heart to Heart Podcast. We're signing off for tonight. Stay blessed, and we'll resume the ministry on Thursday evening. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.